For the sake of my throat and your ears tonight, I'm going to try to be brief, maybe even briefer than usual. But I've said that before, so we'll just see what happens. Last week, we talked quite a bit about the truth that those who belong to Christ are united to him by faith, and that he calls his people his bride. And we talked about a certain number of ways that that ought to affect the way that we view our own personal relationships with Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to stay on the same theme, but talk a little bit more about how the fact that we are united to Jesus through faith unites us not only to him, but also to each other. And that if we want to see Christ-like change in our lives, it's going to mean that we need each other. That change actually happens best often in community. And so that's going to be our topic tonight. We're going to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to read the first six verses. Ephesians 4, 1-6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to keep unity in the bond of peace, to bear with one another in love, to see our membership in your people, your bride, as a central part of who we are. To see it as a central part of our journey along the narrow path that leads to life, the path you have placed before us in this life, having redeemed us. To see that your people, your body, the community of faith, walks with us along that path, and that we don't merely tread it alone. So open your word to us tonight. Let us see and be encouraged that as you have redeemed us to yourself, you've also given us each other. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll start with this. Thank you. That the body of believers and the Christian walk go together. Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians to walk in a manner consistent with their calling and redemption as Christians. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He writes to the Ephesian Christians to walk in a manner consistent with their calling and redemption as Christians, and he lists at least part of what that looks like. He talks about humility and gentleness and patience and love and unity. And he gives the reason and the way for it along with it as well. He says, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He gives the reason and way for it: one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father and all. It turns out that unity in the body, on the one hand, of being part of one body, one people that God has redeemed for himself, and growth in humility and gentleness and love and all of the rest of it, on the other hand, those aren't accidental things that just sort of end up on the list next to each other, but they go together. They're linked. We often, I think usually, think of Christianity and of our faith as a mostly individual thing, right? Jesus saved me and he made me his own. And so the most important part of my faith is, of course, my personal faith in Jesus Christ and my own personal experience of him that I experience when I read my Bible and when I pray and when I talk to him and all of that, or when I do some sort of study on my own, or when I meditate on his word by myself. And that faith doesn't necessarily include anyone other than me and Jesus, though it may. We might realize that it's good to know and spend time with other Christians, maybe even to worship God with them sometimes, but mostly, I think, we think of our faith as being something between me and Jesus, and other Christians may or may not have a part in it. And of course, everything I just said about the importance of our own personal faith with Jesus is incredibly important. But follow Paul's argument here in Ephesians chapter 4. If you are a Christian, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you must walk in a manner worthy of your calling, and that involves typical holiness, as we think of it, patience and humility. It also includes bearing with one another in love and maintaining unity in the bond of peace. Why? Because of what we said last time. Because of the fact that when our faith is in Jesus Christ, we are united to him by faith, but not just us. Every single person who believes in Jesus is united to him by faith, which is to say that we are all joined up not into these little individual separated unions with Jesus, but in one giant union together with Jesus Christ. Because all redeemed people are made a part of the body of Christ, his church. It involves unity with other people because there is one Lord and he has one body and one bride. And we all have our individual faiths, but we don't only have our individual faiths. We have the one faith that all people through all time who have believed in the Lord Jesus have confessed, this one faith in one Lord. And we don't all have our own separate baptisms that have nothing to do with the baptisms of every other baptized Christian throughout all of history, but we have the one baptism into the same Christ, the one Lord. Our faith means that we belong to each other. And whether we recognize it or not, to believe in Jesus is to be included into this one great big family that is spiritual in nature. We are all redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and our souls will all go to heaven to be with him when we die. It's a spiritual reality, to be sure. But it's a physical one, too. In the meantime, we believe and we are all here as embodied beings with our own sins and needs and wants and all the rest of it, and we are all thrown together through our common faith, our common baptism, and our common Lord. Our faith means we belong to each other. And since we belong to each other, and we all make up the body of Christ, it turns out that what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 4, he's saying to grow and to walk in a manner consistent with with your calling, gentleness and humility and patience and love. But that's going to happen through your maintaining unity in the bond of peace, your bearing with one another in love. They go together. They're not separate things. And this isn't the only passage that speaks this way. Ephesians chapter 3, just a chapter earlier. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Talking about this growth in Christ-likeness that we're talking about. That you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. He talks about you being strengthened in Christ in your inner man, and that together with all the saints, you grasp what is the height and depth of the love of Jesus Christ. What about 1 Peter chapter 2? Verses 4 and 5, and then 9 and 10. We'll start at the beginning of the chapter, actually. 1 Peter 2, 1. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and evil and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So again, talking about our growth in Christ-likeness, putting away our sin and becoming like him. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, to grow in Christ's likeness, and you are being made into a household, into a priesthood, collections of people. And verses 9 and 10, and you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And one more in Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are jealous for good works. We see in at least four places, I suspect there are more, in the New Testament alone, where we have the concept first of growing in Christ-likeness, of becoming more like him, of setting our sins aside, putting them to death and bringing to life Jesus Christ inside of us, his love and his goodness into the way that we live our lives. And right alongside of it is this concept that as a part of that, we are being made a part of a people or a nation that belongs to God. Okay, the body and the Christian walk go together, which means, here's the upshot of the whole thing. So it's incumbent on us as sinners, struggling and limping along the narrow path that leads to life, to open ourselves up to one another, to have real, actual friendships inside the church that go beyond just being able to talk about pleasant things, nice things, to hit our small talk talking points that we can talk about in just about any conversation. It's crazy how we went from a really nice end of October into really, really cold at the beginning of November, right? I can ride that one for a good 10 minutes. What we need is a connection to the body of Christ and a connection to the other people inside of it that will allow them, and through that will allow God working through them in our lives to see the darker corners of our closets, to know what's going on with us so that they can actually pray with knowledge, to be able to bring their own wisdom and life experience to bear, to be able to actually bring Scripture to bear in the places of our lives that need it the most, to offer encouragement and help where we need it, to offer some accountability and maybe even a difficult word where we need it. When we're hiding a sin, our instinct is to hide from other Christians, right? It's the easiest thing to do. We stop praying, we stay away from church, we drop out of our commitments, and we keep our conversation superficial. It's the easiest way to be safe. But what we're talking about here, growing to be more like Jesus, not safe. Never safe. You know why? Because it involves killing. It involves putting parts of our old self to death. And it's never easy. And it's always violent, if only in a metaphorical way. But it's so easy to hide. It's easier to hide. It's harder to be known, but it's better. We rarely ask for help, at least not when it could really be useful. We hate receiving advice from others, and we stick to our own groups. I am very guilty of this. That the young married couples really just kind of get to know the other young married couples. We don't seek out older married couples for encouragement or advice. People who are dating rarely ask married people or maybe even older singles for advice. We stay in our own lane, and so we deprive ourselves of the resources of others, the resources that God has literally put right beside us or right in front of us by putting us together in a church, in a family. He's given it to us. The gift is already there. But often we're just so eager to just stick to what's easy, stick to what's simple, stick to what won't hurt, that we miss the resources that he's put right here in our midst in order to help us move down the path towards righteousness. Or our friendships never go deep. And I suspect that women are better with this one than men are. Not always, and I don't mean to speak in very broad generalities, but just to say, I think that culturally, Culturally, we teach women that it's good to have deep friendships with each other where we can talk about the things that are wrong and bothering us. And we teach men that what it means to grow up is that you don't have any really deep friendships and you keep most of your problems to yourself. But again, this goes against the grain of the fact that God has given us each other to help us grow. So the body and the Christian walk go together, which means we have to open ourselves up to each other. This is one of those places where it's easy to resist the Spirit, to ignore the things and the people that God has given us in order to help us along in our walk. It's never easy, but it's always good. It's always worth it to do the dangerous thing for the sake of our faith. And so if there are places now where we know we're shutting ourselves off from others, do the dangerous thing. Reach out to someone not exactly like you. Reach out to someone who's been where you've been already. You can hear what they have to say. Reach out to someone who might be able to bring the Scriptures to bear on your life. It will be worth it. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that in giving us your Son, you give us each other. Help us not to shut each other out, but to let the people in that you've placed right in front of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.